You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 518. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. And Cole Coffee, I'm telling you right now, you're about to have to do this show solo. But I was about to give you a sick call and tell you, man, I'm just out. There's no way I can do it because it is a Thursday afternoon in February in Las Vegas, and it is like 70 degrees outside. I mean,
it is beautiful.
Last week I was in a place in Columbia, Missouri, they had shut down their airport the day before we arrived because it was so cold and there was so much snow. And I think there was like a de-icing truck had frozen or was malfunctioning or something. I remember I was heading to the airport and I looked at the weather to see what the weather was. And the number came up and it was just zero. I mean, zero. That was last week. And
you're
now,
like, where's the other number?
Yeah, like. Yeah, trying to shake my phone like there's some malfunction here.
Screen's not working.
Is it 60 degrees? Is it 50 degrees? No, it's zero. But today, man, 70 degrees in Las Vegas, and I don't know if we're fully done with the climate. Looked future to see if we're gonna dip back down or anything like that. I heard maybe we got some rain coming, but I'm telling you right now, these are the days you live for in Las Vegas.
I love it. It says 10% humidity, winds 6 miles per hour. And you were asking, is there going to be any rain? I can tell you right now, in this 10-day forecast, or is it a 7-day forecast, we're not going to dip anywhere below, well, outside of the middle of the night.
Right.
But we're going to have 70s, 69 on Sunday, you know, starting Monday with 60, then back up 67. Even the coldest in the night. It's 47 degrees.
You can't beat
like,
that.
Like, let's go.
I
love this.
Windows open, doors open, fresh air. I was cooking out on the grill last night. Come on. You can't beat it.
It is so nice.
Count your blessings. This is why we live in Las Vegas. Well, I mean, there's many reasons.
Yeah, there's a few other.
But this weather is this weather.
I tell you, after coming from Seattle, and it's funny, coming back from that trip, I felt like I was starting to get a little sick, but I think it was just the gray, the rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was literally out standing outside of a venue, stuck in the rain, thinking like, why do people live here? I mean, granted, Seattle was really
cool.
It's a cool town, but the weather is something. And they don't even think anything about it. You look like, when you live in that place, you don't in a situation where there's lots of rain and there's just lots of gray, you just get used to it, you know? But I remember just sitting outside that venue, and I was like, this sucks. And then so to, like, be back here where it's beautiful, it's sunny, there's no rain on the forecast anytime soon, and it's just – it feels so good. But it's funny. We chatted a little bit beforehand. So when you feel it's 70, you think like, oh, okay, well, we're well into spring.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of lose track of what month it is. And I was chatting with somebody, and they're like – blah, 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 you know, well, I don't really do much hiking, you know, at least not in the winter. And I was like, oh, wait.
Why is that applicable?
It's still winter there, isn't it? We're not actually in spring yet, but it feels like we were in spring mode. It just hasn't got the calendar hasn't caught up yet, but it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner.
Well, hopefully the weather holds up for anybody that's traveling to our great town next week for UFC 313. Obviously the big pay-per-view event is happening next week, so we'll see our friends from around the nation and around the globe that travel in for just a pay-per-view event. They're getting a little bit different look to the card, unfortunately. The loss of Dan Hooker certainly, I guess, a look, Dan Hooker's exciting.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a co-main event.
Yep.
What you're going to get.
You're getting a war. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're getting a war. And, yeah, maybe it's not a number one contender fight. Or, like, I mean, even if Dan beat Gaethje, it's not like he's fighting for the title next or anything like that. But you know he's going out there and giving a scrap. So that was a damn shame to lose him. But,
yeah. That was like a BMF quality bout right there. That was like if they could have had like a BMF title bout, that could have been it right there.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. And in its place, we now will get Rafael Fiziev instead. The rematch is in. What's your temperature on that one? I'm kind of torn on this one, right? Because at least from my perspective, like, it's going to be a good fight as well. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a good fight, but it's a fight we didn't see all that long ago.
That's it.
We know that Justin isn't planning on having a whole lot more fights, so we're getting a rematch of. But I mean, so I'm kind of torn because I do feel like it's not that different than Hooker. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, Fiziev's going to come out and scrap. Like, he's going to want to throw down with you, and so that's going to be exciting. But I don't know. I guess it's just the fact that we just saw it that I'm just kind of like.
I think too, such the excitement of Poirier, of Hooker is what what you were thought. And then you just thought that there are other options. I mean, we had talked about before, you know, what would be cool to see Justin, and Poirier was one of the ones, you know, and then the UFC, or maybe it was Jester, somebody tried to come out and like nobody accepted. And then you see the tweet from Dustin that's like, yo, I sent a message right to the UFC, like I would take that fight. And then you start hearing that, which makes me think like, if there was a possibility of getting Poirier, I mean, like, makes the Fiziev fight, like, more so.
True, yeah. But, I mean, Poirier is an upgrade. I mean, who doesn't want to see Poirier fight, right?
That was one of the ones we talked about, like, guys that, you know, that they're getting near their last fight, that it's worth it to see. Like,
right.
That's a fight you can, like, hang it up on and be like, here you go. But, like, thinking that Fiziev, that's not one.
Isn't he saying that the idea is they're going to hold him out for the summer because they want to do a show in New Orleans in the summer with Poirier?
But you got a guy clamoring that was ready to save a pay-per-view as opposed to an event that's in the future that, granted, all that tells me, if that's true, is that they're struggling to get a decent card together and they think that he's going to do it. But who do you put him up against?
But he wants to have his retirement fight in New Orleans. I mean, he's a Louisiana boy, you know what I mean? So
I suppose
who do
so.
I put him up against?
Yeah.
Justin Gaethje.
Oh. But if that's asking a lot.
Yeah, like, bro, can you have this war in March and then come around? I don't know when. I haven't heard an exact date. I'm guessing it would be July. Let me say two things. Number one, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities on Earth. In fact, I was actually planning on going to New Orleans like next month for my birthday, and then we ended up pushing some things around. So I didn't book that trip, and now I'm glad I didn't because it sounds like I'll have a reason to go for this UFC event. I love New Orleans. I love the idea of Dustin Poirier getting his retirement fight in Louisiana, in New Orleans. I think that'd be awesome. Let me just tell everybody, if it is July or August, it is hot as hell down there. Just be ready. Like, if you're going to go down there and party, I would encourage you to do so. If you've never been to New Orleans, it is a party city. I love it, but it is, I mean, oppressively hot. Where it's just, it's hot because it's muggy. Like 100, and then the humidity. Like,
humidity,
it is rough. So just FYI, if you're planning on that, be ready. It's an adventure.
Yeah, and there's even been times, too, we've dealt with, like, bad mosquitoes down there, too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Other stuff. Like, you got to watch it. It's like you're literally in a swamp, you know, so you really have to watch it.
Yeah.
The only thing, I agree, it's great to see, you know, if that is where, you know, we can see Dustin leave. But this isn't other people suggesting, like, hey, Dustin, you know, Vegas or New Orleans. Dustin's the one that was like, yo, I'll take this fight, which all that tells to me is that he's willing to fight twice as opposed to whatever. Because if a fight, I mean, because I think if anything
else. Okay, so if you say that he would do both, then yeah, I'd be down with that.
But again, he's the one that's picking it. It's him picking it. You know, I think for him, as much as the New Orleans be the last one would be great, I think he's worried about getting a matchup that makes sense for his last one as opposed to the location. So I guess that'd be one of the choices. If you say, all right, you're going to get your favorite pick to fight to be maybe your final shot, or do you hold out and just hope for a good fight but to be in a location close to home? What do you think? I mean, and that's where I wonder if in his mind he was like, this is a fight I've been asking for. If there's a potential, I can come save the day, probably get some decent money, short notice. You know, he doesn't have to worry about it too much. He can just, you know,
yeah,
go
you don't
there
have
and,
the, you don't have
bang.
The full training camp.
Don't have to fucking train. Just get together and just go bang. Traveling and But do your thing.
You know what though? But man, that's tough. Because
and that's one. And I just and the way I guess why I'm I guess so adamant why I like this is because this was Dustin asking for, and it wasn't the UFC like saying, Dustin, can you step in? I know you want to fight New Orleans, but come up here. Dustin was like, yo, this is the fight I literally been asking for, and there's a potential, and I can do it. I don't know. Granted, it would be great to see him in New Orleans, and more likely that sees. But what if they can't find an opponent now, and then he misses New Orleans because they can't get a proper
opponent?
Find
him. They'll find him somebody. I think.
But is it worthy?
It's not Justin Gaethje. There's really.
I would be really surprised. Justin would have to go out there and do a one-punch wonder, just knock Rafael out flat for him to make New Orleans. I think at this point, they got to find somebody else for it, for New Orleans or whatever. But I doubt I'll get that nod to do that one. That would be a fun trip. We've had some good times in New Orleans.
Oh, I love
it. We've had some rough times in New Orleans.
Bro.
But
legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary. Yeah,
that's
that
funny.
Was a,
somebody reminded me the other
trip.
Day.
That was a crazy trip.
I can't remember if it was from that same weekend or it was another trip in New Orleans. One of the UFC staffers, I won't say his name, but one of the guys came up and he's like, remember your birthday in New Orleans? And I was like,
I don't know if
okay.
I did.
I was trying to think. I was like, was that our birthday? I forgot that we were at one of the strip clubs, and one of the UFC guys had told the club that we went and visited with some friends, that it was my birthday. So that next thing I know, the stripper comes up, grabs me, and he's like, we got something for you. And I was like, what is going on? They're like, it's your birthday. I was like, and they were like, just go with it. Just go with it. So this UFC staffer that was talking about it, I was like, I forgot about that. So I don't even think it was around my birthday. I was like, dude, somebody just played a trick, and like they were just like, they just wanted to see somebody have a great time and literally told him it was my birthday. And it was a great birthday present, but still.
I
don't think it was my birthday.
That trip is legendary because we did do an insane podcast that still exists. If you ever want to go back and listen to us at our most chaotic. I mean, that was a long time ago. So I remember that.
Like four different locations.
Yeah, we were up and down Bourbon Street.
Up and down Bourbon Street.
That was where, post-fight, we took our luggage and stuff to the strip club and hung out at the strip club until we went to the airport.
What were those drinks? It was apple or something.
It was like
cider?
Angry Orchard cider with some frozen
Fireball.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, my God. So it was frozen. Oh, yeah. So that trip, I don't know why this memory just came to me. That's funny. For some reason, American Airlines just straight jacked up and gave me a refund that I had no business getting. So, like, literally, like, the night before we went to the strip club, I got a refund in my account of, like, $800 from American Airlines. And I was like, free money at the strip club!
I remember that now.
Yeah, I was like, well, we going VIP room, baby. Let's have a little fun tonight. Like, it's on American Airlines. Appreciate you.
I remember we drink a bunch of those fucking frozen drinks. And I remember it was so funny going into the strip club with our luggage because they were just like, what are you doing?
The security at the door was like, what? Like,
what are you doing? We're like, we know the owner. I don't want to name drop him now, but like, is so-and-so here?
Yeah, that was great.
Good times.
Good times, man. Good times. All right, so look.
Remember they gave us beads. Was it you that was like throwing them really hard at people, or was that
another
UFC staffer?
I'm not that guy.
I didn't think it was you, but I remember somebody.
Somebody
was
like pegging somebody
like,
with it. Well, not pegging
stop.
That, but
they're throwing it harder
throwing
than
hard.
They should have been. Yeah. Up from the balcony. And
good times.
Like...
I want to go to New Orleans again. I'll probably be a little bit more well behaved. I think I'll bring my wife and kid this time around, so it'll be a little bit different behavior.
Get out to,
but
Café du Monde,
get some
beignets. What was that crawfish place that we went? It was oysters, but I think they did have crawfish. But there was an oyster place.
Acme Oyster Bar.
Dude,
I love that. But dude, I love the oyster bar.
Oh yeah, that was
good. Jackson Square, dude. Honestly. If I'm not super busy, like we were really busy because that was back in the junkie days when we were grinding like that. But man, when I'm there hanging out, like just to sit down in Jackson Square, which is gorgeous. There's like a little.
Yeah.
I hope it's still there. It's been a while since I've been there, but there used to be like a little cigar shop where they would hand roll cigars.
Oh, nice!
Just grab a cigar, sit down on a park bench, have a little cocktail
and
a cigar.
And the best part, I'm like, you got all the street performers. The music is just fantastic all over, and then you just hear like. music in some little random ass bar or club, and you walk in and it's some of the best musicians you've ever heard. Like, it's that town is just so
it's
cool.
Such a unique place, man. It's one of, it, I always say, like, it's one city in America where, like, if you were blindfolded and they dropped you off in the middle of it, like most downtowns, if you got dropped off in the middle of a random downtown and they took the blindfold off and they say, "Where are you?" Like,
I don't know.
I have no idea. This is so generic. There, you're like, I'm in New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Like, let's go.
It's so unique. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope that does come to fruition because I definitely want to go down there and have some fun. So, and I think Dustin wants that for his send off, like his friends, his family, everybody there. Even if it's not, you know, because he's had war. I don't think he's missed a fight with anybody. Like, I was thinking, okay, well, if Gaethje's not available, who else? I mean, maybe a rematch with Holloway would be there. I mean, that'd be pretty legendary, you know what
I
mean?
That'd be a good one.
That'd be a great fight as well. But I think because he really – there's no, like, fights that didn't come together for him that I can think of. Like, who's the fight? Like, oh, I always wanted to see Poirier and so-and-so. It's like –
he's got Conor. Got Khabib.
Yeah, I mean, everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
yeah, that's true.
So I don't know.
Now it has to be Max.
Max.
That is literally the only thing left.
Right?
That's the only thing left.
I think that would be good. Because
Max doesn't have anything booked.
I don't
think
he has anything right now.
All right.
So is that the one?
Put it on the paper.
I'd like to see that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, I mean, look, Fazeev should be a good fight. And you know Justin Gaethje is going to bring it. Like, that's the great thing about Justin Gaethje. It doesn't matter who he's in there with. You know it's going to be exciting. So,
both guys are going to go in there banging for sure.
Should be a lot of fun. We will break all that down next week as we start to get into UFC 313. This weekend it is UFC Fight Night 253. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Have you been following this? I was kind of busy, so I hadn't had a chance to read it, but I saw the headlines today that the new FBI director is talking about partnering with the UFC.
Ridiculous.
Break this it down dude, for you. I didn't see this.
This dude is such a fucking asshat.
I've been tied up all day, like, but I saw
like
this.
He's saying like the FBI training, they should incorporate or have the UFC do some training for them. So let's break that down. So I'm going to come to you, Dana. So one, it's another, I guess, partial where, hey, how a friend of Trump and people, how can we send you some money? All right, we're going to have you train our staff. Well, okay, what staff will they be using? You know, so all right, so let me break that down. It's not going to be fucking Forrest Griffin chilling at the PI, but you know Forrest would be more than happy to say, yes, come on in, you know, we'll do it. And this is not a slight on Forrest. If you're trying to train guys, you need – I think they want active, you know, people that can that are staying up on the new techniques.
This isn't just a ceremonial, like, hey, come hang out. He's suggesting, like, an intensive training program.
And the UFC does not have that. I can see where they're like, okay, we're going to allot X millions of dollars. The UFC bring in fighters to do this. What that means is the UFC, of course, will bring fighters in to do that, take their part of the money by picking whoever they want to come in here, train this thing. So the UFC has the potential to make money from it. Should they be even involved with this is ridiculous. They should be, if they're really worried about the FBI, send them to some of the same people that are training our military, our high elite military, you know, people. Don't send them to just some random fighters. I mean, you've been just like me on many, many trips where fighters have, it's just like the ceremonial sort of training with troops and other little stuff, which are glorified PR sessions.
100%.
What this needs is not a glorified PR session.
Real stuff.
You need real training. It needs to be real deal. And take it to the point, you know, these fighters and these FBI guys, I mean, there's a point, yes, they're going to train them to maybe subdue, you know, the people, maybe knock them out. Are you going to train them how? Where's the kill part of this?
Right.
How do you treat, you know, how do you make it to the switch and then train them what part it needs to become lethal? I mean, yes, you could choke them out and then eventually just keep it on to them and then it'll choke it like that. None of these people have ever trained themselves to actually kill somebody unless they just haven't told anybody, you know, or whatever. But, I just see it as a glorified PR stunt right now because they want to align themselves with the UFC name.
Right.
You look at one of the magazines. I saw a post. One of the magazines, again, was touting Dana's connection to Trump and how they won the election. So now it just seems like another instance where they're, you know, let's combine our names, you know, or people are giving this guy a lot of heat because what are his qualifications even be in this position? But he's like, but hey, guys. I'm going to switch it up. We're going to change it up. So we're going to reach out to the UFC. They're the guys that are training today's best fighters. And one, the UFC is not training the fighters. They are employing the fighters as contractors.
You know, it's so funny when you break it down like that because, like, I, for one, like, I remember, you know, and it comes up every now and then, a couple times over the years, people will get upset about law enforcement training Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I personally believe they absolutely should. You see these videos where, like, people can't apprehend, you know, a criminal or whatever. And you're like, dude, if you knew a basic level of jiu-jitsu, like, if you were a blue belt.
That'll save your life.
100%. And so, like, but I've seen people that, you can't take these terrible cops and give them more skills. I'm like, if they're bad people, they're bad people. But for effective law enforcement, you should absolutely train jiu-jitsu, right? Yep. So when I first saw the headline, like they want the FBI agents to train with the USC, it was a little bit murky to me. But I was like, well, the idea of training martial arts is not bad if you're actually going to be in the field and there's a possibility of hand-to-hand combat. It is actually useful, but you are right. Like, the UFC doesn't have trainers. I mean, they do. Now, I will say this. Let's small caveat, asterisk, if you will. The PIs, the foreign PIs, do have training staff on
strength and conditioning.
But you're not going to send them to the Shanghai PI to train the U.S. FBI, right? You know what I mean? So it is interesting,
right? Do you even train UFC? They want the FBI guys to say that they train UFC.
I train UFC.
I mean, like, if anything else, it'd be smarter to pair up with well-known, renowned gyms that actually
That's what I was going to say.
You don't need to partner up with the UFC to do it unless you just want to make a publicity sort of shit and have the UFC coordinate it for a fee.
Right.
You know, it's just they're tagging the name in there. But it makes no damn sense. I think the people that understand what the actual structure of the UFC and the training if you want the fighters to get trained, you got to go to a place that actually trains people. You know, and the UFC does not. The UFC employs a hell of a lot of fighters that have access to trainers, and a lot of those fighters could act as trainers, but those are not UFC employees. Yeah. You know, like, why would you be going to the UFC, you know, unless you're just making those connections?
I mean, I was going to say. Now,
it's just all silly. It's so silly.
I was going to say, it would be nice, but you're 100% right. The UFC is going to look to make some money off the deal. But, I mean, it would be nice if the FBI was like, hey, UFC, we have an office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Do you happen to have any contacts in gyms in Albuquerque, New Mexico? And they're like, as a matter of fact, we do. Let's just we've got some, you know what I mean? Like, we've got some athletes there. Do you have any? Our Des Moines office in Iowa is needing some field training. Are there athletes or gyms there that you can connect us with to make this happen? And they just say, absolutely, let's pass on this contact information. Boom, boom, boom. That would be nice. Yep. That would be cool. I would support that and say that's a great thing, right?
Yep.
But you're right. There's got to be money changing hands, right? They've got to be like, it's a multi-million-dollar program, and we'll handle the funding.
Unless they just want to say, Dana, out of the goodness of your heart for bettering America's, you know, things, please give us your contacts, you know, because when it comes to it, I mean, these dudes are doing a huge fucking money grab. When you see, like, even what Elon's doing, dismantling shit just to employ, then switch it and put his own Starlink contracts and other stuff. Do you see that Verizon thing that just came out? Dude, it's fucking crazy.
To be clear, the system is aging, deteriorating rapidly.
Yes. And I looked at their own plans, and I was like, no, we could do that better. And now I know what to offer the price at. You know, like, it's so fucking skeevy, man. And this is just another instance where they're trying to, you know, figure out a way. And hey, at the end of the day, I mean, government's been like that forever. You know, where people are just hand in pocket, but that was what they said that they're getting rid of. You know, all this, you know. What is it? Backwater swamp, whatever shit. Like, it's
drain
just
the swamp.
Drain the swamp. I'm like, you're not. You're just moving it to another fucking, another swamp. But it seemed to me like it was.
You think anything comes of it, or you think it's just like they're just throwing stuff out there?
I think they're throwing it out, but I mean, I can see where if the UFC, I mean, if somebody said, and I want to work with this particular company to train people. I then would be like, well, let me reach out to you, and how can I make money off of this? Do I have connections? Sure. If you send me, you know, let's work out, let's just roughly say, I don't know, for $20 million a year, we're going to train 200 of your 200 of your personnel. You know, we'll give an 8-week course. We can blah, blah, blah. You know, they can literally have staff and pay whatever and still make, you know, fucking $10 million off of it, you know, and spend $10 million on it, you know. But he's not going to do it out of his goodness of his heart as being a patriot or whatever. Like, the UFC is going to make money off of it, you know. But
which,
again,
it's free enterprise,
which is fine.
You know what I mean, it's a business.
It is what it is. I mean, if he was my friend and I had a company that could do it, I'd be glad if he was shooting my stuff out there or whatever. But at the end of the day, the UFC does not train the fighters. They employ the fighters.
That's right.
They maybe, and they have staff that actually help train them to be better, strength and conditioning and their overall health wellness. They employ those people,
right.
But again,
not the actual martial arts training.
Not the actual martial arts training.
Except the foreign PIs, but they're not going to go to foreign places to train U.S. FBI agents.
Yeah, that would be really smart. Send them down to Mexico, and then they could just take it over while they're down there.
Oh, my God. Would that not be the craziest thing ever? Is it like they send like multiple troops of, but it's all under the guise of like, oh, they're training at the PI.
And Mexico's at the PI.
And it turns out they're really just staging a military coup of the Mexican government.
We're already having the stage is being set here. I don't want to take this too political, whatever. I would just say the rule of law is under attack in the United States.
Oh, my goodness. MMA Roadshow. Let's get to the MMA Roadshow. Speaking of somebody hitting the road, Danny Sabatello, I was able to tweet out just before we sat down to start recording today that he is actually making his way to Ryzen. So good on him. I like Danny Sabatello. He's one of those guys you either love him or you hate him. But
yeah, his personality is amazing.
It's amazing. But that's great. That's what you want as a fighter, right? Sure, you'd love for everybody to love you, but if they hate you and just want to, that's what we always say. As long as they want to tune in to see you either win or lose.
Or see you
get your ass kicked. Yeah, they're like, I can't wait to see
his personality. Fight week?
He's hilarious.
Oh, he brings it. His energy level, there's no like zero. It's like 100 right from the get-go, and if anything else, it just ramps up to 110 on fight night or something. And I think there's something about that. Even if you didn't know who he was, the way he sort of just commands the space, whether it be weigh-ins, whether he's coming in for face-offs, whether he's walking in fight night, he just sort of steals your attention.
It's amazing.
And I think any organization would be super stoked to have a guy like that. I mean, that's the kind of shit you could build around.
Oh, and in Japan?
Yeah.
Where they, like,
he's like an old school, it takes you back, like, in the the height of the Pride days of just major names and characters that they literally will just eat up. He could be a star over there.
I believe it. I believe he will be, man. Yeah. I remember the first time I interviewed him, I texted, I think it might have been Danny Brenner afterwards, and I was just like, I love this guy.
This guy.
I'm like, this guy might be my new favorite fighter. Because I'd seen a little bit of him, this is years ago, and I'd seen a little bit of him, but I didn't know he could just turn it on instantly like that. And just, never misses a beat.
He finds a way that even whether he hates his opponent or not, he finds a way to just make it seem like it's personal, like there's like beef or whatever, and like he wants. I can see if I was an opponent, like, bro, what did I do to you? Like, why do you seem to hate me so much? Like, bro, I just met you, and he's like, I'll eat your face. His energy is off the wall, but yeah, I could see them just eating him up over there, man. He's gonna be. I think if he plays his cards right, he could be a huge star over there, I think.
I agree, man. I like it. So now I guess we're just waiting on resolution for the champs. I think PFL and these Bellator athletes, I just honestly feel like they're better. They came out and said anybody that doesn't want to be here doesn't have to be here.
Yep.
I think you just deliver on that. If somebody's saying, I don't want to be here, let them go. And yes, you're going to take some hiccups, and yes, you're going to take some issues, obviously. You're going to lose some star power. I mean, it is looking more and more like – the Bellator acquisition was just a complete flop. You know what I mean? Like, again,
after the fact, now it seems.
Yeah,
like
they didn't. Now look, there's still time to salvage it, and again, it was not a cash deal, so they didn't have to lay out any resources to do it. From my understanding, it was just like stock. So I guess it doesn't hurt even if you get nothing for it. So that part is disappointing, but I just feel like they're better off just kind of letting these guys go if they want to go and clean house and just get a clean reset.
There's just fighters that want an organization. So if you do whatever you need to do to right the ship that the organization is still an organization, you're always going to find fighters.
Yep.
I mean, look at what the UFC, they're able to find these guys and keep coming up. And it's not like, of course, in America, UFC's number one.
Right.
Everybody else can be number two. Everybody's going to be dreaming about making it to the UFC. But not everybody makes it to there. So somebody, they want to fight, and they want to fight at a legit organization. If your organization is paying a hell of a lot better than what they were making on the regional scene, which is practically nothing,
right?
They're going to see you as a viable opportunity, and you're going to find these stars that eventually you could build around. The Bellator thing, I think partially, even if it didn't maybe play out to how it was such a big splash when they actually got together. If you didn't know the PFL at that time, which for us that are around the space, you had at least, some sort of inclination, it was a huge PR blast for them. Like, yes. Everybody was talking about, like, the merger, wow, the PFL tour,
yeah,
and all the other stuff, and they were just like, whoa, this is amazing. Look at these rosters. So if anything else, they made a huge splash just by, you know, putting themselves as, we are the number two organization. Now they just got to, you know, right the ship, make sure it's good, and they can keep going, and they'll find fighters. You know, it's what's it going to do you to have a fighter that's on your roster that is constantly bad-mouthing you? He might go in there, and of course he's going to want to win. He's not going to sandbag it. But at the end of the day, if the fighter's, like, constantly bitching and moaning about how they're not liking their – how is that helping you?
I don't think it's good, man. You know? And I know they don't want to just let him walk. I get it, man. I really do. But I just think you're better off. I mean, just like I said, get a clean restart. As I said, so the lightweight brackets got announced. Robert Whatley, our CFSC champ, is an alternate in the lightweight bracket. But it's perfect. It's like he wanted that. If you remember, he had a funny – I was doing the post-fight interviews because Punk was somewhere else for that show. And, you know, it was, hey, man, another big win, another big title defense. What's next for you? And he's like, I want to go to the PFL. And I'm like, we're on Fight Pass. And I'm like, I mean, the UFC's not bad either, you know, since we are on UFC Fight Pass. But Wiley, you know, it's cool. He's like, no. He's like, listen, I appreciate the UFC. He's like, but I went to the PFL, and it didn't work out. And I just feel like there's a sense that I want to right that wrong. I feel like I need that in my career. I know I'm towards the end of it, so I want to go to the PFL. I want to do what I didn't do the first time around because I wasn't prepared that time.
That's
when
cool.
He says that, you're like, okay, can't argue with it. He got on there, man, so I'm happy for him. You know what I mean?
That's
so, like,
cool.
You said, there's going to be fighters that want to be there. I could see, and I've talked about this a lot, I could see, you know, if you look at some of the brackets they're announcing, there's not a lot of U.S. representation, and I could see maybe some people going, hey, what are you doing here? But I said from the beginning, I think they need to, I don't want to say you just forget America, but, like, you're not going to beat the UFC in the United States. So why not go elsewhere? And they're a lot of international. I like that they're doing a lot of international because, again, those markets are underserved by the UFC. The UFC isn't getting over there. In fact, boy, I saw it on the I think it was the latest TKO earnings call where they said, like, hey, expect us to do more international fight nights. I think they realized that too. Like, man, there's a lot of places out there that we can only get to. But even then, there's only so many dates. So if you're the PFL, hell, focus international. So I like what they're doing.
Yep.
But honestly, man, if I was in – I mean – And I'm sure they'd have a lot of pushback, and people would say, then why did we go get Bellator? Why did we go – if we're not going to keep these people around, why did we even do it? And I understand that. But honestly, if I was in that room, I'd say, look, if people want to walk, let them walk. Let those Bellator fighters go if they want to go. We're better off to just get a clean reset, to not have this negative PR. You know what I mean? And because I thought the way they handled it with Pitbull was perfect. You know, whether you agreed with it or not, that was a great statement. Like, hey – if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. We just want people that want this opportunity, and let's give it to people. I would highly recommend to them, like, dude, if these people want to walk, just let them walk.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we all wondered how long they were going to be able to try to be two organizations within one. Anyways, you know, like, I think most of us thought that at some point one was going to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, I think the writing was on the wall from the beginning, and so the fact that they got a year and a half or whatever out of it, you know, I think that was pretty good. But at this point, I think it was always probably eventually going to go that way anyways. And the fact that they have the potential to corner, you know, the international market or some of these, maybe not corner the market, but at least get your foothold to when fighters internationally are starting to try to break in. I think a lot of them, too, have seen the UFC come to their town on occasion or come to their country on occasion. And they think, like, man, that'd be great. Yeah, I at least know that organization's out there. But if they know that there's another organization that's going out there and grabbing fighters from those regions more often than what the UFC is, why not aim for that one? So they have the potential to be that organization that all these foreign fighters are looking at and saying, hey, you know, let's go there.
Yep.
And I think what we're seeing everywhere is that, you know, the MMA market and the MMA space, the training levels has grown everywhere. Part of that is in part to the fact that the UFC and other organizations have been there, and it's kind of opened up that doorway for people to realize that, hey, there's a path to a career doing that. But the fact that, you know, the PFL could really embrace that and go that route, I mean, they literally could be that first word that comes from people's mouths when they talk about MMA in that country.
Yep.
If the UFC's been there once in, you know, 4 or 5 years or so, but then the PFL goes there twice a year or something like that, you're going to take over that space really, really quickly to where fighters are going to be like, hey, the UFC is great, but they never fight here, you know, and I'm the matchmakers, I've sent words to them, but it might take years before they ever see me. I might as well go for the one that's actually working over here and grabbing fighters, you know. And I mean, it'd be silly for people to think that the good fighters in the world are only coming from the U.S. market. I think anybody now Absolutely. Realizes that, you know, there's great fighters everywhere. So why not go and grab these fighters before anybody else? And I mean, good for them. And now it's just on them to capitalize and actually make it so that we can learn these people and understand it. Put on events that people can watch. You know, put on events that people can, you know, learn about these fighters, promote the fighters, make us interested in them, because we see the UFC fighters, we see the stories that happen here. Now it's on them to tell me why I should like this guy, you know, that's from insert random international country. And then if we see they're fighting and you're showing us their highlights, we're going to love the dude. Just got to introduce them to us, and then, you know, we'll learn to start looking at these other markets. Whereas right now, we don't see them because the UFC is not there. We just happen to find them when they hook up with a management team or a training partner for somebody that actually is signed, and then we bring them over, and then they start to get on the radar, and then maybe we see them 2 years down the road from that. But I think they have a great opportunity to do it. They just got to get their ship in order, make sure that they're financially sound, and then have that money. And if it's a matter of riding the ship so then they can then use that budget to market these fighters, market these international fighters, get the deals to where we can actually watch it on TV here in the States and I don't have to VPN into some random ass country to watch the event, you know, like get that sorted, and then it'll all start working out, you know. But it's tough. So I try to, you know, give them a little bit of grace, because what they're trying to do is hard. But, you know, I hope they get it together, because like we've always said, I mean, the space is better with multiple players in it, and they have a great opportunity to corner a market that the UFC only goes as visitors.
Yep.
You know, they've set up these random, you know, there's a PI in Mexico, there's a PI over in China. You know, those are the small little footholds. They got too much going on here in the States, and they have too many other little side projects of Dana's to really properly focus in these other countries. And the PFL, boom, just get in there, man. Get in there and start doing it.
I'm telling you, man. You know? I agree. I feel like, you know, I've praised their efforts over the years. And I like what they're doing. I just think right now, while they're having this rough patch, man, I think they're better off just cutting bait. Cutting
bait,
man.
They got enough to worry about without the bad PR.
That's it. Don't need the bad PR, yeah. Man. Don't need to have that. So, well, listen, speaking of alternatives and places to compete, Karate Combat is a place that we don't talk about a whole lot to be here on the MMA Roadshow, because we try to keep it to mixed martial arts, and obviously we're at big UFC events every week. But we've got our friends over at CloudBet now that have come on board as an official supporter of the MMA Roadshow. And of course, CloudBet is the official sportsbook of both Karate Combat and the PFL. So they actually, this is going to be speaking directly to our international audience. We will make that right up front as well. If you are here in the United States, you will find it incredibly difficult to do business with CloudBet, unfortunately.
Unless you heard me talk about the said VPN thing.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying you might. It takes some work. You might have to do some things. But if you're in one of the nations outside of our great United States of America, and you can do business with CloudBet, again, show them some love, if you will. Again, the official sportsbook of Karate Combat and the PFL, so they've got odds on all of those events. You can actually watch the events there on their website, and then live bet as well. There is a Karate Combat event on Friday night. So if you're listening to this, even if you can't place a bet over at CloudBet, you can still watch it. They do stream live on YouTube. They actually have been streaming live on the UFC Fight Pass as well. So if you got your Fight Pass membership, certainly you signed up for Fight Pass so that you could watch CFFC and you could watch Match Day and you could watch all the wonderful offerings, you know, submission grappling that we bring to you with Fury Professional Grappling. But you can also watch Karate Combat on there as well. And you can give our friends over at CloudBet some love, because they are giving us some love, and we certainly appreciate them coming on board and supporting. There is a, I don't know if you've been paying attention, some controversy going on over at Karate Combat right now with their main event change, one of the athletes not wanting to weigh in, and Jesus Lopez kind of pulled out of the championship fight, Arturo Vergara on the other side of it. Is not happy about it, which understandably so, that he's, you know, losing a title fight opportunity here on fight week. A little bit of miscommunication there, and President Awesome, I saw, came out and did a press conference where he's like, you know, on top of that, we actually paid the guy early because he needed some money and he was hurting, and now he's screwing us over on the other side. So, yeah, crazy things happened over there at Karate Combat. But those are fun events, man. You know what's funny? That Karate Combat pit, obviously it's been a cool service. For grappling. I mean, they're doing some grappling series events as well, but the surface for grappling,
yeah,
it's honestly I love it
with the slanted little,
yes,
the slanted, keep it in there. Well, just speaking, I'm looking at the fight card. Do you see? I'm like, is this a mistake? But it is a grappling match.
Kyle Ohio and Brendan Allen. Yeah, they just added that this week.
What?
I know, right?
That's amazing. Yep. What a like that. I mean, I
tune
was
in
like,
for that.
I was like, that can't be right. So I was like, and then open up. But yeah, that's a grappling event on that. So I mean, yeah, that's good. I mean, you got Rebellis.
España. So by the way, I was looking at the odds on CloudBet, right? And because it's international, it's the international odds, yeah, not the way that
so
we're
they,
used to
yeah,
seeing
read,
the American odds. Yeah.
I was like, I don't understand.
Totally screwed me up, man. I was like, oh, dude. I was like, Rebellis. So Rebellis España, by the way, Rebellis España in Karate Combat, like, I didn't love him in UFC. Yeah. I was just like, this guy is clearly not ready. If you happen to be a supporter at patreon.com/MMAroadshow at the and a half episodes of when he would compete, I was just kind of brutally honest. I was like, I don't think this dude is going to make it in mixed martial arts.
Yep.
But in Karate Combat? So I was looking at the odds, and I was like, hey, I was like, it looks like, it looks like this is a pretty good bet on Rebellis here. And then I realized he's like -3,000 in the American odds, but I was looking at it in the European odds. I'm like, I think that's a pretty good line on Rebellis. Like, I think I'd take that. And then, yeah, it's still I think he's gonna win. I mean, he's what, had two fights over there, and I think he's competed a total of 16 seconds between the two.
Wow,
two fights.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah. So anyway, shout
I'm
out.
I'm glad
to our
you
friends.
Said something, because I looked at the odds. I was like, I gotta research this. I was like, I don't understand what these numbers mean. I didn't even think about actually just counter looking in the States, you know, and see what they say in the States. Because I was looking, and I was like,
that seems like a pretty good deal for Rebellis. And I'm like, oh, well, no, he is. That is big time favorite action there.
But yeah, so when you see the tweets come out from us, if you can, there is a hyperlink that'll link you over to CloudBet from our tweet. So
click,
if you could, click that
click
link.
Click
for
it
us.
A lot.
Click
it multiple times.
Yeah, click it a bunch.
Click it on multiple
Engage
devices.
Engage the shit out of it. Engage the shit out of it.
All right, this Saturday, UFC Fight Night 253, Manel Cott versus Asu Amabayev. Cody Brundage, Julian Marquez in the co-main event. Nasrat Haqparast and Esteban Ribovich is a fun fight that's on there. You know, this fight, I kind of feel bad for Manel Cott. I'm on the Manel Cott fan club, all right? Like, I like Manel a lot. I like his fighting style. I like his personality. Man, he brings it every time. I love that. You know, this was supposed to be, of course, the Brandon Royval fight, which is
number one contender fight.
Number one contender fight. Obviously, I'm a Brandon Royval fan as well. Like, I love Raw Dog, so that was going to be a great fight. Brandon Royval obviously suffers the concussion and training. Yeah,
that's legit.
Scary.
I mean, I think a lot of people rush to think, like, oh, it's just a concussion. Like, I see people do that in the NFL, and then they shake it off and they get back in there. Like, that's the stupidest thing to do.
I
like,
saw him
this
post
is
the
serious.
Other day that, like, that, like, he's still getting nauseous and he can't train without, like, that's scary, man.
You shouldn't be training at that point. If you're still getting nauseous on training, like, find a different way to train.
Sad. You think about the one that, I mean, I don't want to bring this up. Maybe I shouldn't even bring it up, but, like, TJ Grant, remember, like, he was supposed to have a title shot.
Yeah.
And he had a concussion training, never fought again, man. You know what I mean? Just because he couldn't shake off the effects of it, man. So, like, this stuff's no joke. So
it's brain injury, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legit. I mean, I think we call it one thing and don't really say, like, what it is. I mean, like, it's literally traumatic brain injury.
So
it's
true,
temporary,
man.
You know, but the effects can have lasting, if not permanent effects.
Hopefully,
you know?
Knocking on wood, that won't be the case. So I feel bad for Manel because that was a high-profile fight. Yeah. Now you got Asu Amabayev, who, by the way, is damn tough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And doesn't have the name recognition of a Brandon Royval, so it's a challenge for Manel Cott. Yep. And for Asu Amabayev, I don't want to say it's a like a free roll, but kind of is, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's a no-loss situation, man. So there's no pressure, and it's a massive opportunity for him to just kind of leapfrog himself into all the discussions.
Yeah.
I know you got a chance to talk to both guys. Yeah. What'd you take out of media day?
I mean, I thought they were both in great spirits. I mean, like, Manel still believes that this might as well still be the number one shots. Like, he feels like if he gets a win here, that he's going to get that win, that he should get the next shot. He thinks he's going to finish him quickly. He's like, he's a little bit shorter. I think his eyes should be lined up perfectly where I'm going to land my punches. He's so confident. He's very, very confident.
Manel's got swag, dude.
Oh, he is. Oh. He is something. But, I mean, looking at Almabayev, I forgot that he's already in the top 10 too. So
yep.
In the UFC rankings, he's number 8. So it's not a far stretch to – you could definitely see at least on Manel's side. I mean, he's number 6. He's right outside the top 5. That's a bit of a stretch where you think you beat somebody a little bit below you that you can still go for that number 1. But he was willing to fight the number 1 ranked guy right now. So you figure he was already in that position. You were already considering him to be the contender should he had won that particular fight. So I could see where it's an easier stretch should he get the win, and especially in a definitive fashion to possibly say, okay, you're at least you know, a solid top 5. Do we leapfrog you or do we whatever? I think it's that would be one of those calls where we see fight night where Dana's like so in just enthralled by your performance, you know, and then if the champ's like, okay, yeah, you know, you beat, you know, so-and-so and I want it, maybe he gets that shot. I still think he'll have another fight to get it, but I love the swagger. I love the idea too. About it. But, yeah, I mean, is this a no-loss situation for Asu regardless of whether he wins or not? He's fighting a higher-ranked guy. He's fighting short notice, you know, I guess it's short notice for both guys, but still, I mean, it's less pressure, but I think he's got incredible, you know, talent on his own coming in there. I think he's looking to put his name, and you come in and you fight the guy that was ready to fight the number one contender and you get a win off that. You have just as much right to say, okay, I'm ready for the title, which he said he would be more than happy. But he also, what I loved about it, he's like, I'll fight Brandon. He's like, if you want to take all doubt out of it, if Brandon wants, when he's ready to go, I'll fight him after this. And then we can say who's the number one contender.
Love it.
As opposed to saying, you know, where Manel's like, no, if I get it, regardless, I should get the shot after this. You know, Asu was like, well, I'll fight Brandon when he's ready to go, you know. So I was like, good on you, dude. So he's making the most of it. But I'm excited about it. I mean, you know, I hate to say it. Like, I don't want to make it sound like demean when I say it. I like the little guys when they get in there and they're scrapping.
I love the flyweight division,
like,
dude.
It's so fun. I mean, they're fast. They're talented. Both guys have decent power, man. I would not be surprised if we see a quick finish from one of these guys in there.
I love
it. I did lean Manel.
Yep.
You know, I think it just – he was already – you know, prepared to fight the number one guy. So I think the level of effort, and I mean, that guy goes hard in training. I mean, he's just fun to watch. And when he's focused, he's a fun thing to watch, man. So yeah, I leaned Manalina, but if Suga can go in there and get it done, I would not be surprised. That the kid's super,
no, it's
super
tough.
Talented.
He's a live dog for sure. Yeah. Julian Marquez, a slight favorite over Cody Brundage.
Who did I pick on that? I think I maybe lean Brundage, but now I'm wondering if that's true.
Look, man, it's a big fight for Marquez, man, who was on top of the world, had everything going for him, and then he's had these setbacks as of late. He's had some injuries and some losses, and this is a big moment for him, man. So maybe a surprising choice for the co-main event here, but an important fight for both these guys, man. The last time out for Cody Brundage, he caught a lot of grief for that one. So, and he's had some setbacks as well. So this is a little surprise that it got the co-main event slot, but meaningful fight for both these dudes that are really, both of them kind of need to right the ship, right?
Yeah. Julian, so he's just so fun and open. Both guys were really, really open about issues. You know, Julian, again, you know, he's glad to be what he calls coming back home, you know, ready to get back in the apex, ready to get right, you know, the ship righted. You know, he's not trying to feel any pressure of the past. He did start talking about some story about it because he was talking about when he first sort of got into it. And he brought up some stories about this old honky-tonk bar that he was like, ask Laura. Senka was there too. You know, like some of the old scraps that they used to have to do in this, some things. I was like, dude, I could talk with Julian about shit like that for hours and hours. Because, I mean, he's just got such a fun personality.
That's a good dude.
And when he gets in there, I mean, his fight style is fun. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is the same guy that was shot his shot with Miley Cyrus, walked out to Miley Cyrus. It just has so much, you know, just such a character that he is just a fun guy to talk with on Fight Week. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, when you're going in there with 3 losses, you tend to be either uber focused or you're just like, you don't know what you're going to get when you see him in media day. But he was so happy to be there. He was smiling ear to ear. He was embracing it all. So it made it fun to kind of chat with him. And Cody, on the flip side, you know, after all that sort of stuff that happened, he really questioned whether he wanted to keep doing this. You know, he was at the point where he was really considering quitting. You know, he had to get his mind right. And he said if it wasn't for stepping away and like fully stepping away, you know, not really keeping the foot, his coach was like, just come train, come train some of these guys, come help me coach. Just stop doing the other things, because he was really at that point. He's like, am I meant for this? You know, things aren't going my way. He was dealing with like depression and other sort of things. And he's coming in now. He feels like his body's good. He feels like his mind's right. He's refocused, because, you know, when you get to a point where if you're asking yourself whether you want to keep doing it, that's the point where Dana always says, like, if a fighter is questioning whether he wants to be there, that's the point when you shouldn't be there.
100%.
And then you got to find your why. You know, why do I want to keep doing this? And for him, you know, he's got a family, and he found that even when he was around the gym and he was helping others, that it started, you know, coming back in, and he was like, whoa, this is fun. And he started enjoying it. And then he was like, coach, I think I'm ready to start doing this again and start whatever.
That's awesome.
And it came back. So, you know, with the family and with the support of everything, he found his why again. So he was really refocused. I think you're going to have both guys going in there. And I hate saying it when you say, like, they're fighting for the career, because you put such a finality sort of, right, like, because neither guy gave me that impression, but like they were that worried about, because Cody in the past, he says, I was always chasing that win and it drove me crazy. And then I end up losing because I was just trying to get the win. He's like, now I'm trying to, you know, just find his peace within finding it and keep the enjoy and right, the whatever, you know, which is cool, because when you're like that, you're like, okay, I could see you still fighting again, as opposed to a guy that's either fearful for his job, fighting for, you know, that's when you see him go in there and fight to not lose, as opposed, yep, to fight to win, you know, and you see two different,
it's hard, right? Because you start out doing something because you love it,
yeah,
and then it becomes your job, and then it's the job, and you're thinking, yep, about the money and the paycheck and all that, and you're
then,
like, why don't
people
back?
Start to,
yeah,
chime in?
You got to get back, and yep, you're like, wait, why did I start doing this to begin? Yep. With, like, because I love it, you know what I mean? Like, I love, yeah, this stuff. So it's, I'm telling you, you know, it's fights like this. Like I said, I am surprised it's in the co-main event, no question about it. But I think the storylines and what it means, he's been, that's, you know, we talk about it here sometimes, but I think people forget about that. You look at, because I've seen and heard a lot of people this week just trashing this card, right? Just, yep, absolutely trashing this card.
People were trashing the last card.
And it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal.
And it was absolutely phenomenal. And I think stories like that with Brundage and Marquez, you look at where they are, and you think about what goes into this for, yep, every single athlete on there, man. Like, there's
people
a lot
forget
of
the human side of it. They just want to see these racehorses go out there and give them this pure entertainment, you know, and then you kind of forget that there's families and there's lives and there's other stuff, you know, and that's the shit that, especially in Cody's, like, the voices on the outside got to him. And a lot of fighters, that's why you see some there, like, I don't pay attention to social media, I don't whatever. I mean, but how can you not? It's so hard, like,
it's hard
to try to just live in a vacuum, because you can't live in a vacuum. You
it's
know?
It's so hard. Like, I mean, obviously, I see like haters and stuff on social media, and yeah, I hate it. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird thing, because I've said this before. I remember Misha Tate saying it at the time. I was like, that's kind of rude. And I'm like, no, you're 100% right. It's like social media gives people access to you that have no business having access to you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That, like, why am I listening to a message from that person? Then it's just some random person. But it gets to you. I mean, we all, yep, have egos. We all have our pride. This might insult you or talk, yep, bad about you. Like, how do you not see that? You know what I mean? It's tough. It's, yeah, frustrating, man. So, it's a big moment for both these guys. And look, yeah, there's some other fights I'm really looking forward to. Like, Danny Barlow's back, obviously. I'm a big Danny Barlow fan, making his way through CFSC. Austin Lane, always love Austin Lane. He's got a tough assignment. He had a tough assignment last time out, and he got, yeah, it done. He's got a tough one in Mario Pinto.
Yeah.
Chepe Mariscal, Ricardo Ramos. I feel like that should be absolute fireworks, man.
Fun.
I think that should be a lot of fun. You got Charles Johnson versus Ramazan Timurov, like the flyweights as well. Again, I think flyweight's probably my favorite division, always has been. So listen, man.
And there's some ladies on this
got
card.
Got some ladies as well. I know you're a big fan of the women's martial arts.
But I mean, like, Andrea Lee and J.J. Aldrich, like, that's going to be a banger. Like, that's going to be a fun fight.
Yep.
And then, of course, yeah, Montel and De La Rosa and Luana Carolina should be fun as well. But,
should,
yeah,
be.
I mean, I'm an old school. I fucking rocked Invicta. I'm probably, mm-hmm, one of the only people I can think that probably listens to this that actually went to Invicta shows,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Like, I love that shit. Outside the fact that, hey, they are the fair sex.
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
yeah,
mind,
yeah,
looking,
yeah,
at fit fucking women that can beat some ass and, like, But these two, like, it's funny because when we were doing the media day, I saw Andrea come in and she was rocking her cowboy hat. And it's like, you just know who she was as soon as the door opened.
You
saw the cowboy
hat.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's Andrea Lee. And I love it. I mean, they just bring a lot of personalities. And we saw that when Angela Hill was there recently, just her personality. Like, some of the biggest
Angela
and
Hill.
Boldest and fun personalities have been from the women's side. But, yeah, I thought that the two fights that we have on this card, I thought are really, really good. One last thing that came that kind of before we go finish the when we were talking about emotions and the stuff, I was on a call earlier for work today, and one of the speakers had talked about how they dealt with a lot of stuff when people are always naysaying their career and doubting her mantra. And I thought it was great, and especially in the situation of, like, you know, how do you try to stay focused on your career while people are saying this other stuff and you get angry and whatever. And her mantra was outcome over emotions. You know, so there's times you want to, you're really pissed off and you want to lash out at somebody, but you can't focus on that negativity. You got to focus on what's ahead of you and what's going to be better. Me focusing on my career, focusing on what I can do that I can manage, and let me work on bettering this thing. I'm not going to let myself get angry about this hater over here.
I like that.
Because that's just emotion.
Yep.
I want to focus on building my career, building myself and my sport or whatever. Outcome over emotion. And when she said that, I was like, dude, that's
so
a
true.
Fucking killer mantra.
Yep.
I was like,
I like that.
Dude. I was like, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah.
And now I just shared it to y'all.
That just makes you a nice cold savage right there, right? Like,
right?
I don't let the heat get to me, man.
Yeah.
I'm just out here handling business.
I'm aiming for my finish line.
Yep.
I'm aiming for where I'm going.
I like that. I like that.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
All right, listen, speaking, I'll chime in with some outcome over emotion right here.
Let's go.
So I have recently switched, and I'm going to give everybody a recommendation to maybe check it out. I just made the switch. I was DirecTV Stream forever. Now, don't get me wrong. I have Hulu. I have ESPN Plus. I have Fight Pass. I have Netflix. I have all that. But I did DirecTV
all
Stream.
All the things.
Oh, I have everything. Everything. Some of them, I'm like, do you guys even watch this? Like, they watch more TV than I do.
I just finally canceled something the other day. I was like, you don't even watch these.
I don't even have. So anyway, but I switched. I now have Fubo. I will say, honestly, I'm very, very I'm just getting started with it.
Yeah.
But it's solid. It's got a ton of sports on there. And obviously, like, I watch more sports than anything. It does have local channels, which, I mean, obviously you want to have your local channels if you can. But I like it. But here's how I got there. This is outcome over emotion. So,
you got mad at somebody.
Bro, listen to this nonsense. So, last week I come home and I want to watch Oklahoma State and Iowa, right?
Okay.
It's on the Big Ten.
Wrestling,
exactly. It's on the Big Ten Network. So, I was like, I don't have the Big Ten Network, but I know I have it available. I'm like, so, I was like, I guess I'll just have to upgrade my package. So, I go into DirecTV Stream, I find out which one Big Ten Network's on, and I order it, and it's like, order successful. Your package will be updated on March 1st. And I'm like, I want to watch something now.
No.
Like, I don't want to watch something
like
on March 1st.
It's just digital. You're just going to zap my box.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do anything. So so I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so I call up customer service and I'm like, hey, you know, listen, I just ordered this. You know, I guess, can I not get it now? And they're like, oh, no, just the way it is. Like, it updates per month. And I was like, okay, well, then I don't need it. I was like, I'm trying to watch something tonight. And they're like, so what do you want to do? I'm like, just put me back to what I was. Like, cancel it. And they're like, oh, see, unfortunately, your plan is no longer eligible. Like, that you were on a grandfathered-in plan that is no longer available. So now you can have that same plan, but it's $10 more than it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Like, I want to watch this, and I'm willing to pay for it, but you can't provide it for me, so now you can't switch me back to what I was on because you can't. And they're like, nah, I know. That's just the way it is.
It's out of our hands.
And I was like, well, guess what's out of your hands too? My account, you motherfucker. So I canceled DirecTV Stream.
So something I would do, but I love that you – that's the passive-aggressive Morgan. That's just – no, that's straight up.
I'm just like, I'm out. But I was like, so I texted.
With good reason.
But
I mean,
I didn't do it
ridiculous.
Right then. I didn't do it right then. I waited. But I got off the phone. And I was like, that's so ridiculous. So I asked my wife. I'm like, hey, how much do you watch on DirecTV? Because they watch a lot more like Netflix and stuff like that. So I was like, how much do you watch actually on DirecTV Stream, like the live show? And they're like, honestly, not that much. I was like, okay. And I told them what happened. I was like, I think I'm going to cancel. I was like, I'm going to find something else so that we have it. But I was like, I think I'm done. Like, I just don't – I think that's ridiculous. And then I was looking around. Fubo had a free trial.
I'm surprised I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't do the YouTube. Have you tried the YouTube TV?
I looked at YouTube, but I ended up going with Fubo just because I was reading stuff, and they were just, you know, bragging about how much sports content they have.
It does
honestly
seem to have has a lot of sports. Lot of sports. I know my brother's on the YouTube TV, and it's actually pretty solid.
Pretty good.
But, like, Fubo is, like, one of those ones where you see, like, events streaming or sports, like when I'll pull up on the Roku.
Yep.
It's on Fubo's where a lot of those ones or whatever.
I tell you what, I'm really interested to see.
The YouTube TV is actually pretty good, though.
I'm really interested to see, and I don't know yet, but there is a PFL channel on Fubo. Now, it's basically just playing like
old events.
Yeah. But I'm hoping it'll have, I don't know if it does or not, I'm hoping it'll have like the European shows and the foreign shows. I don't know if it's online. Does it have the geo restrictions or not?
I would think they would say something. They would have been advertising if they had
sure,
it.
Oh, sure, yeah. They're so great at communicating. I don't know. I'm just hoping.
They'll have it after the fact.
There's a One Championship channel on there as well, which has a lot of old content. So I'm hoping that their live content is there. I mean, obviously, you can just pull it up and stream it or whatever. But
I think Junkie had a channel on Fubo for a while.
Really?
And then it was like an OTT channel.
I'd block that channel in a heartbeat.
Now it's like, I think there probably is a USA Today channel on there. But yeah, we used to have our Junkie stuff.
I didn't know that.
The channel over to Fubo. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
With like all the interviews and press conferences and all your video footage and all that stuff.
I literally would turn on just to see my shit.
Just
I'm like,
I shot that.
This is on Fubo. And they were like, what's Fubo? I was like, never mind. Whatever.
I'm telling you what.
It's come a long way.
I like it. Like I said, it's got my local channels in there for like news and local stuff. And then like, honestly, like
how much you paying a month for it?
I want to say it's like 84.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
that's about that's about what YouTube TV is. I'm not sure what YouTube TV does with local or something like that. But, yeah, if it's got everything in there, if it's got all the ESPNs, ESPN2s, and all the other little stuff, why not?
Yeah.
It's worth a shot, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, if anybody's looking for alternatives, again, I'm only a couple days into it. Like, I literally – that meet that I wanted to see was this past Sunday, and I got pissed off. So
that's good. They have the Big Ten Network and stuff. It probably has – I mean, because on some of those sports, when they have, like, SEC Network.
It does. It has all that stuff.
Not that anybody wants to watch that network. But, I mean, just watch ESPN for that effort.
I just want Big Ten, right? Nothing but
Big Ten,
dog.
But that's cool. It is neat when they show – when you start seeing – because I forget a lot of those other networks are out there, but the SEC's got their own network, and some of the other conferences, I think, have network out there
as
well.
Yeah, it's got a ton of stuff on there. So I think
that's pretty cool.
And they actually have – one of their, like, add-on packages has, like, a bunch of, like, international soccer and stuff like that. So I might end up doing that, too. Like, I love watching soccer. The only problem is, like, so many of the big games are on Saturday.
It's weird times.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't – we're busy, so.
But I mean, if you want to watch it like VOD or something,
after
the fact or something,
you want live sports, you want live. But anyway, I just want to give them a shout out. Like I said, I'm just getting started with them, but if DirecTV is doing something stupid to you or you're looking for something, so far I'm only a couple days in, but
yeah, there you go, Fubo. If you want to advertise on the Roadshow, we just gave you a nice little spot. Come on, let's go.
I mean, if you got that kind of plug for free, just kind of leave what happens when you're an actual sponsor. I mean, the type of love we give you at that point.
Hey, YouTube, same thing. For you, I will promote your stuff.
I will cancel Fubo in a heartbeat, bro. I mean, CloudBet got me gambling in Europe, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll jump through hoops, dog.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's go.
I love it. Oh man. All right, listen. UFC this weekend and a half. Wow, just and a half. What was that? On Mondays now. We've been doing that over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow that supports us over there. We appreciate that. We shifted it to Monday. I like it, man.
So I feel
like
play.
I feel like it's a lot more energy, number one. And number two, you get to hang out and do it as well.
I mean, that was a heavy lift, you know, cause especially now with your schedule getting so busy. I mean, it was
getting impossible.
Because we want to keep delivering those ones. So it was rather move it rather than kill it.
Exactly.
You know?
That was 100%. Yeah, with things coming up, which hopefully I'll have some additional announcements in the very near future. That
and
we
it's
can
better
share
than
with
just
everybody.
About Fubo.
It's better than Fubo. Fubo's good, though. Hey, last thing, just shout out, to my wife and son. If anybody can send positive thoughts their way, certainly appreciate that. Been tough, and we talked about it on the and a half episode. If you saw my social media, we lost a dog over at the house, and it was my wife and this dog were very, very close, and she really loved the dog. And for my son, who's 12, it's the first time he's had to deal with loss like that. So if anybody's a parent, they know what that is like. It has not been the greatest week of all, but it was sad. But I guess I've talked to a lot of people. It's kind of a blessing in a lot of ways. His health deteriorated incredibly fast. But that means he didn't suffer for very long.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had made the decision that we were going to bring him into the veterinarian's office on Monday morning and put him down because, like, he was unsustainable the way he was. And it wasn't even really a decision. It wasn't even a choice. It was just like, this is clear. Well, the next step that needs to be taken. And I was like, so, you know, why don't we today just make him as comfortable as we can and just spend this last day with them, whatever. Bought him a McDonald's cheeseburger for dinner. You know what I mean? Like, hell with it. You know what I mean? Like, you're going out, might as well. and then he ended up passing away in my wife's arms. So, it's hard, but I feel like that's a blessing too, because like as clear as it was that the dog had to be put down, like it was not good what he was suffering. You still don't ever want to feel like you're like robbing him of even a day or an hour, or 100%. You know what I mean? Like it's sad.
It's one of the toughest decisions you can ever make. There's no easy, because you always have some sort of regret. You know you're helping him out, but then you're right. That's the worst part. You're like, could have went a little bit longer, you know, and at some point then it's like, are you doing it for your own benefit or the animal's benefit, you know, at that point. But did Boo get a cheeseburger?
Boo didn't get a cheeseburger.
Oh, damn.
She's healthy. She ain't sick.
I know, but still, she had to be like, why is he getting the cheeseburger?
She did get a little leftover cheeseburger. Yeah. He couldn't even eat the whole cheeseburger. He got to the point where he was like, I'm full. Like, I can't even eat no more. And she got a little bit
half
leftover
the size of his body.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You know what I mean? So, it's sad. Make sure every time they get a little emotional, a little sad, that you know, try to remember the good times. And I tell you what, man, my son, I'm proud of the man that he's becoming, because, you know, obviously my wife was crying, and we all cried. Obviously, we were all having tears. You know, you lose a pet. But my son has like a little debit card that he, like, when he gets money and stuff, like, we're trying to teach him how to bank and use a card and all that, and he has this thing, and he wanted to check how much money he had in his account, because he bought he went to Amazon and bought my wife like a little stuffed dog that looked almost exactly like Buddy, so that he at least has something. So he wanted to buy that out of his money, and he thought about it immediately. And so I was proud of him for that. You know what I mean? That he's
very
like,
cool.
I want to make my mom feel better, because I hate seeing her sad. You know what I mean? So anyway,
that's very sweet.
Yeah, so it's been some sad days, but you have your moments, right? Everybody's good, and you have happy, and then you have a sad where you just miss them. So. Pets, man, we love
time.
We love
them. Time will help.
Time will help.
But yeah, this is a big learning thing, for the kid.
my dad called yesterday actually to like comfort, and just say how sorry he was for everybody. And he's like, shared a story with my son. He was like, and he remembered, basically shared the story of like his first dog that was like his best friend. And like when he went off to college, the dog passed away. But, like, he was recounting the story, and, like, he actually got emotional. This is, like, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But this dog was, like, his best friend. He actually got a little emotional, like, talking about it. And it was funny. Like, we got off the phone, and my wife was like, so that means, like, 50 years from now, I'm still going to be crying? I was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. You probably.
I mean.
She's like, why did she? What? She's like, I was sweet of him, but why did she share that story? I'm gonna be sad 50 years from now.
there will be moments. And now it's the worst part. Well, like, depending on what your phone, like my phone, since they take a lot of pictures, Google automatically uploads it. So it makes it, it'll like, look at this memory from random time, and it'll put a fucking song to it. You're just like, bro, you're
so
killing
true,
me. Like, these are pics with my cat before we had to go to the vet to put him down. I'm like, I hear the music. I was like, no. Oh, it doesn't pull that one out. I'd be like, Google, you trying to kill somebody there. You trying to hurt somebody for life.
That's so true, right? When it puts those little montages together, man.
It's one of the coolest things, too, when it sends you the right one. But, yeah, I mean, but then you get those feels. But, yeah, I mean, but if anything, that just shows, that it was real love and that you treasure the thing. So, like,
yeah.
You want to feel that 50 years from now,
absolutely.
You know. Granted, in 50 years from now, I'm not going to feel a thing. I'll be long gone.
Gone at that point. That's what I was telling my wife. I'm like, 100% I'm going before you, right? Like 1,000,000%. I was like, so hopefully you're preparing.
Oh, and I don't know if I want to like talk about morbid stuff or whatever. Speaking of, and because did you hear the news with Gene Hackman?
No.
Like, found him and his wife dead in the house like this morning or something. Like, the front door was open. He was like, he's like 95 or whatever. He was on the ground on one floor. She's up in the bedroom, like the bathroom. There was like a bunch of pills laying around. There was a dog dead in the closet. Two other dogs like in a bathroom, and then some dogs that were outside or something like that just happened or whatever. So like they think it, obviously it seems suspicious. I was like, you think? You know, because a lot of time, but that just, I think it's an ongoing sort of story or whatever. But like, he was an amazing, huge actor. Yeah. Like, I watched his shit for so much or whatever. But since we got on the story of like husbands and wives going at the same time, let's just talk about some more. But I loved a lot of his movies, like Hoosier.
Oh, yeah, he's a legend.
You know, so much shit. But yeah, I think that was today.
I mean, you know how little my Hollywood knowledge goes, but like that transcends. Like, everybody knows Gene Hackman.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they figure out whatever the heck happened that, you know, and the dog died too. I'm just like,
So.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
That was a morbid end.
All right, well, enjoy the fights,
hey,
everybody.
Guys, the weather's great in Vegas, by the way.
70 degrees,
better than where you are.
Hopefully they didn't get you too down. Hopefully you enjoy the fights this weekend. And more importantly,
you never know what you're going to get.
It's all kinds of stuff on this road show. You get a little bit of everything. Thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.